This is the Arise Ministries Collective podcast, where we seek to equip and encourage the body of Christ in biblical truth and understanding. We believe that when women have an authentic and growing relationship with Jesus Christ, truly know God's word, and are dependent on the Holy Spirit, they become powerful and influential vessels for the kingdom. I'm your host, Lisa DeSilva, and I've been excited about our discussion with today's guest, Kelsey Falsom, since my copy of her book, Buried in the Margins, arrived in the mail. I couldn't put it down until I finished reading each and every poem in it, and only took it off my nightstand table last night to have it in front of me for this podcast. Her vulnerability and candor bring a gritty and welcome light to feelings and experience many of us as women have, but maybe struggle to articulate and put into words. So welcome, Kelsey.
Hi, I'm so glad to be here. Thank you for having me on.
We are so excited to have you on. We're actually talking remotely. You are right now in Kansas City, right?
Yes. So I was just talking with Lisa that we are sort of living a nomadic life right now. My husband is in medical school, and we have been traveling about every 3 months for hospital rotations. So I'm originally from San Antonio, Texas, but lately when people ask me where I'm from, it's a bit complicated to answer. So,
and you're doing that with small kids in tow. How many kids do you have, and how old are they?
I have 3 children, and my oldest is 4 and a half. She'll be 5 in April. And then I have twin boys who are 3.
So you're carting around the country with 3 little people, and you've been other places in the U.S. as well. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes. So we started out in a little town called Silver Springs. It's a suburb of Washington, D.C. in Maryland. We were there for 6 weeks, and then we moved to Hollywood, Florida, just north of Miami for 3 months, and then we moved here. We've been here just a couple weeks and are actually enjoying the snow. I know people who have kind of borne the brunt of the whole of winter are a little bit over winter, but for us coming from the sunny, sandy shores of Florida, we've been just thrilled to be catching snowflakes on our tongues and throwing snowballs. So we're enjoying it for everyone else who's very done with it.
And we have never on the Arise Ministries Collective podcast had a poet before. We have had writers, we've had therapists, we've had women's pastors and other people in women's ministry. We've had lay people who came on to share their experience with us, but you are our very first poet. And Kelsey, you just published your first book, but I've been reading about you and following you. You've published on, you know, in many different capacities, in journals. You're a busy, busy woman. And I want to hear a little bit about how your journey into poetry started.
Man, I was thinking about that earlier this week, trying to pinpoint a moment really that I started writing poetry. And I think I've always been, so I am a musician by trade. That's my training. And I think early on, I really fell in love with songs that were very poetic, even just songs that didn't have words. Like I always had this connection to feeling and how the way that a melody moves could make me feel something, and the way that a sentence moves, the rhythm, the cadence, the imagery, how that could evoke feelings so effectively, and wondering, okay, God made this, so there has to be a point to this. This has to be a meeting place of sorts for us and Him. And so when I was younger, I wrote sweet little verses. You know, I liked just the challenge of trying to figure out how things could rhyme. But it wasn't until probably middle school, I started experimenting more with, I guess, what I would call my own personal psalms. Mm-hmm. At that time, my family moved a lot, and I We had just moved actually from South Florida when I was a little kid to Texas. And a lot of my friends who were close to me, I left behind, and I was feeling very alone and out of place. And some of that feeling of, I don't know where I belong. We've moved a lot and my culture is a little different than everyone who's just stayed in one place their entire childhood. So I really found solace in the Psalms. And it was really the first time that I had read through the Psalms voraciously and would just cry and cry over how much I could relate to David and some of the other authors of the Psalms and how they felt towards God, how they petitioned him, what they wanted from God. So that started this place of, well, I have my own worries and thoughts and fears, and I can start to write those out and experiment with different forms. So that was kind of maybe the official birthplace of getting into poetry. But I did not ever think I would share it publicly ever, because it was such a private thing. Like, poetry is so raw and real. I didn't think that would ever be something I would share with other people.
Yeah. And I did want to ask you about that, because reading your book, even the titles, and I don't want to necessarily read all of these out loud for our listeners, but you have titles, like, I'm not going to read the poems, but I do want to read some of the titles. You have titles like Panic Attack, Separate Beds. I'm just flipping through it and nabbing some.
Yeah.
Unborn, which had me in tears. Waiting in Terminal B. Hands. The Great Unwinding. And some of them really are raw. I mean, you'll end with a line about your sex drive. And I'm thinking, how do you get to this point of reading the Psalms, going through your own journey, writing them out in almost what sounds like journal form? Uh-huh. And then how do you get to this place of letting people like me read them?
Wow. You know, that comes slowly. So the very first time I shared a poem, and actually, no, it wasn't Panic Attack. It was a poem sort of like Panic Attack that has yet to be published. I don't know if it ever will be published, but it was right before my husband and I moved to the Dutch Caribbean for him to start medical school. He's doing an international medical program. And we were not in a great place in our marriage. We had just had twin boys. They came at 30 weeks, so they were premature. I had a lot of complications with that pregnancy, and I was feeling very, very overwhelmed with, I don't know if I can do this, move to another country for you to do medical school, which basically means I'm a single mom, and I have three kids under the age of two at that point. And we were just not on the same page. And we had had a humongous fight about all of it. And the next day I had gone to, in San Antonio, there's a ministry there called One. And it's kind of a denomination-free place that offers worship nights and kind of family worship services. And they do classes during the day about prayer and ministry and music and art, like whoever wants to come and engage with God in kind of a creative way. So I went to a free time there where you could just, they had nice music playing, you could bring a journal and just sit with God, do art, whatever you want, and then afterwards share about it. So during that time, I wrote out this poem in my journal, and I didn't even know it was going to be a poem. Like, that's one of the cool things about poetry is I will sit before a page just exhausted. Like, my emotions are so exhausted, I can't even write a sentence about it. But all of a sudden, a word will come, or a phrase will come, or a rhythm will come, or a repetition will come. And I will just ride that wave until it's done. and then often go back through it. And it's exactly what I wanted. Like, okay, that is how I'm feeling. That is what God wanted to say. And often I think God shows up and speaks. So in this poem, it was kind of a dialogue between me and God. And I was sitting in this broken place of like, I am mad at my husband. I'm mad at my life. I am scared about this next season and what it's going to require of me and all the ways I think I'll fail. And he really showed up. Holy Spirit showed up and spoke to me. And so there's, in the middle of the poem, there's almost like a song. I think someday I will turn it into a worship song, but he just showed up so gracefully, graciously, mercifully, and kind of spoke to my heart what I needed to hear. I didn't even know how to ask for those words or that ministry. It just kind of happened. And so afterwards, we read our stuff out loud. And that was after that moment, a number of the ladies came up to me and asked me, do you write poetry? Do you share your poetry? Like this, it seems like God has something for you with this. Like, just think about that, pray about that. So that encouraged me to start thinking about, well, maybe God wants to touch other people through my own brokenness as like a meeting place. I think of, I don't know what verse, but just the wounds of Christ and how we find healing in there. And often for us, when we show up in the world and our spheres of influence, it's often from our wounds that bring the most healing to a person.
Yeah, we minister from our wounds. And I think after I was reading your book and then took myself to the Psalms, David does the same thing.
Yes.
Right? He cries out, he laments, he shares his doubt. He, you know, I look up to the hills, from where does my help come from? Kind of like, where is it going to come from? You know, I know it comes from you, but I'm just not feeling this whole thing. And so we hear him lamenting. And, you know, your poetry has a lot of joy in it too, but a lot of it is lament, I think maybe because of the season that you were going through and are in. And I just want to hear more about why you would decide to publish this in a book and what you hope that does for us as readers.
So I think about, and I almost think this is a burden for writers of whatever genre that you write in. It's a specific burden to bear in that we often write from a place which we felt grateful for from another artist. So for example, in my time of brokenness or pain, what book do I wish I had to walk me through what was going on? And at that time, I didn't know a lot of books or stories of people who were in a similar situation as me. I could take courage from other people's testimonies and their struggles, but as far as being able to see yourself in someone else's work is so powerful because you realize I'm not alone. And so I have felt the burden to share as vulnerably and deeply as I can, because maybe it's just for one person to read it and to know, oh my gosh, someone else has had the same thoughts I have. Oh my goodness, I have the same questions to God, about my family, about my relationship. And I think you mentioned some of my poems that would talk about sex drive or things like that, intimacy in a relationship. And I feel like a lot of, like, we women are sexual beings. God made us that way. And there's not a lot of material, at least that I'm aware of, from a Christian perspective, of a Christian woman wrestling with these things with God. And once you have children, your body changes in some very surprising, maybe painful ways. It's like, oh my gosh, I cannot wield my form like I could before. Like, this is different.
Right. Yeah. And I feel like as I read through this and you and I chatted in advance through text and email, and I told you the one that resonated most deeply with me, and you said that that was, you hadn't heard that from anybody else. My particular, the one that just kind of brought me to my knees almost in revisiting what I would call past trauma, maybe even some stuff that I have not dealt with before, was simply called garage sale. And you said that you hadn't heard anyone else say that that was their favorite or most poignant. But you and I have had similar experiences in moving around with our kids and having to sell things because we didn't have the space for them. And so for you to put my, you know, what other people would consider maybe a small grievance, a small grievance towards my husband, towards our situation, towards our God, and put that into words in a way for me to say, oh, I felt that too, and lay it down in surrender. I'm so excited for other women to read this book and to meditate really on some of your poems as a way to deal with some of their own feelings, feel comfortable expressing some of their own feelings. And you actually have provided us at Arise with a really practical resource. This is so generous of you, so generous of your time to share it with us. And you've created a document that everyone who's listening, you know, share it with your friends. You can download it, print it. It is going to help us respond to scripture and lead us into times of prayer, and some practical instructions and exercises for how to write a poem. But you do it so like without any, I think I would get nervous if someone told me, I'm going to teach you how to write a poem. And then I was supposed to sit down and write a poem. You give us one of your poems and you say, reflect on scripture. And for the most part, we even get to choose that scripture, right? Yes. Like it might be something that someone's already reading in their quiet time or studying in their small time. And you give us your poem and you say, okay, meditate on scripture and how you're feeling, and how might you add a couple of verses or stanzas to this poem? And then you're hoping that we what? Like just come out of our shell and yeah, start writing. Okay.
Yeah, I think of them as writing prompts, something to get the juices flowing and something to help. Just kind of a launching pad for noticing your own life and what's around you and what pulls your attention. I took a poetry workshop. It was online and it was like a 6-week workshop. And like you just mentioned, one of the things that struck me about it is how accessible I found it to be, because in my mind, poetry was kind of this like high, inaccessible, complicated thing. And I didn't consider what I was writing necessarily to be poetry. So when I started to do these exercises, they're exercises to help you generate content. And one of the things was to, some of them are like, write the first 50 words that come to mind. Mm-hmm. And no editing, no self-editing. And another
stopping, like stopping our thoughts. Yeah. Like,
oh, I can't say that. Or, oh, that's not appropriate. No, that's not. Cause that's what's in your heart. You have to let it out so that God can work with it. And so that was a good exercise. And then just noticing, there were exercises to notice, like walk around a room. What are the first 6 things that pull your attention? Write it down. How do you feel about it? Is there a memory attached to it? How would you describe it? Even just the act of describing something, you're going to do it in a way that's different than someone else would. And so, like, I right now I'm staring at this tall white paper lamp in my daughter's, it's actually a closet.
I love, you do have to tell us, you do have to tell everyone who's listening where you are and what we can hear in the background.
So, oh my goodness, we are a family of five and we are living in 650 square foot loft apartment. So I am in, there is one bedroom, which we gave to the children, and there is a walk-in closet that a little toddler bed is set up inside. That's where I'm sitting, is in my daughter's toddler bed. But you can hear, my children are currently watching Dora the Explorer, so you can occasionally
hear them.
So that
you can do this podcast, the real world, right?
The real world. I bribed them with popcorn and hot chocolate, like, and they're doing great.
The things we do, and somehow you're able to publish a book of poetry and all of these other things. Okay, but I interrupted you because I knew where you were. We had actually had a conversation earlier where you were saying you might have to hide in the bathroom. I thought that might be a little bit echoey. The things we do to bring this message to women is absolutely incredible. Okay, so you're looking up at this white lamp and you're thinking, hidden in a closet, and you're thinking.
So as I stare at it, that would be something in this room that pulls my attention, and I could write 5-10 sentences about it, and I would notice different things than you would. Maybe you would notice the lines that coil down, or the way the paper crinkles, or the softness of the white light kind of muted through. So those kinds of things, descriptions are important, and really slowing down and describing something, because what pulls your attention is trying to speak to you. And I think that is from the Lord. Like, all matter in a way has something to say to us. If we ask God, like, why am I noticing this? There's obviously something being pricked in my spirit that wants to pay attention, that is feeling something in response to what is in front of me. And so really slowing down and taking the time to walk through what that might be, you might realize, oh my gosh, I now have an access point into this memory or this trauma, if we're going to go deep, which actually is interesting. A lot of therapists ask their patients to experiment with poetry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And often, what do you call your kind of poetry? Is that free write?
I would say most of it probably would be considered free verse. Although I do, you know, it's not every other word rhymes. Like, there are different forms that you can follow that require, like a sonnet would require a certain amount of lines that have a certain amount of syllables in it. And
that the first sounds line way too to overwhelming. Yeah. For those of us starting.
Yeah.
I do want you to know that after I read your book, I secretly wrote my first poem since, I wrote a little bit in college and then when my kids were infants. And then I wrote a poem last week and I told my family that I wrote a poem and they started laughing. They're like, Mom, why are you doing this? And then this morning I got up early and I'm prepping an art lesson for some middle school students coming up next week. And Kelsey, I used some of your prompts and I wrote a poem. And I'll tell you,
it's hard.
It's hard. It's not as hard, I think, as writing a sonnet, right? I've written one sonnet, by the way. We'd like to read that. I would love to read that. There was something that you said that just brought me to this about getting our feelings down. And we've talked before about how you really believe that these are, they're prayers, they're heart cries. And when you sent me your book, you wrote a little inscription, and I hope that it's okay that I read it because I feel like this sums up your message. It says, Lisa, I hope these poems bless you with the gifts of beauty and resurrection. God can bring the most broken things back to life. Thank you for joining me across these pages. And I think that is our hope. That's why we wanted to do this podcast and give women this resource that you're going to have on our show notes page. I just really hope that women pick up a copy of your book, read the poems in it, that they are encouraged to share and be honest about what they are feeling, write them as prayers to God. I think it's so amazing that you published yours for us to read, but people don't have to do that, right? It can just be between them and the Lord. But I'm so glad that you did. I'm so glad that you did. I'm so glad that you took this time to create a resource for us to encourage the women that we serve. And your book is available in a link through our website. So if people go to ariseministriescollective.org, ariseministriescollective.org, and they read our show note, they can purchase a copy of your book and gain insight into responding to scripture through the written word. So Kelsey, let's hear from your kids. Are they there?
They are.
They found you in the closet.
They are all three asking for water.
Of course they are. And you are a tremendous, tremendous woman of God. I look forward to hearing more from you in the future. And So thanks for joining us, taking that time. Bye, kiddos.
Thank you so much.
Hey, this is Lisa Da Silva again, and it is my absolute honor to be the co-founder and director of Arise. As a listener, reader, workshop participant, podcast guest, writer, whatever it is you do alongside us, you are an active member of this community. It's why we called it a collective, and we're so glad to have you as a vital part of it. Our prayer is that everything we do at Arise will serve as an encouragement and resource as you grow in your own understanding of the Word, draw near to Christ, and share conversations with women about glorifying God through their own spiritual journey. Arise Ministries Collective is a nonprofit ministry operating on the generous donations of people like you. We simply can't do what we do without you. And as we grow and begin to reach more women for God's kingdom purpose, so does our need for financial support. If you would like to make a one-time or recurring monthly tax-deductible gift, click the donate button on our website to give, and be sure to include your email and mailing address so we can stay in touch and send you a year-end receipt for your generosity. Thank you for supporting Arise Ministries Collective. To God be the glory.